face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Krejci takes it away. Krejci to Coyle. And the Leafs are mulch again.
There's our buddy Jack Edwards. There's our buddy Jack Edwards. Had him on yesterday. The Leafs are now mulch. Not a bad line. I don't know if it's exactly accurate. Leafs don't become mulch.
No, I think mulch
bark is, become mulch?
Yeah. Yeah. You become, I don't know what you become. But whatever it is, I'll go with it.
Okay, we'll go with it. Good call from Jack Edwards. It made me think, too. He's a huge Tuukka guy, too, right? One of the charter members of the Boohoo Tuukka crew. We asked him yesterday about the goaltender advantage. He said it's a toss-up between him and Frederik Andersen. So the Tuukka people who are acting like, see? You're telling me you people were confident going into that game yesterday? All you Tuukka supporters?
No way.
They were crapping themselves just like everybody else. They had no idea what Rask was going to do.
Yeah, because they'd seen him wilt before. In
exactly.
Seven, so there was precedent.
But they're in their take bunker, and we're just now doing the whole Tuukka thing. It's just a talk radio thing. It's not, no one's actually basing it. I feel like I'm the only guy just basing on what's happening on the ice. He plays well, he doesn't play well. Everyone else is in their bunker. And so they, you know, it's all just trying to win the argument, overstating how bad he was in game six or overstating how well he's played, you know, when he does play well. It's gotten stupid. But in their heart of hearts, Ty Anderson, DJ Bean, Jack Edwards, how confident do you think they really were into Rask going into that game last night?
Oh, I think they weren't quite sure what they were getting.
Because if
how could you be?
And again, if Edwards, who again is at the top of the Boohoo Tuukka crew, the Tuukka cheerleading squad, he said it was a wash between him and Frederik Andersen. A coin toss between Frederik Andersen. So if Jack was so confident in his guy, he'd say, we have the better guy and he's going to play better tonight. I didn't hear any of that yesterday. I heard the goaltending was a wash.
Yeah, to me, I actually gave a slight edge in the goaltending to Toronto going into that game.
Me too.
I thought Andersen was the better player. I thought he was the best player in the series going into that game. And then the Nordstrom goal happened. Look, for Rask, I mean, that was a money performance. You know, I know it's first round, but it's game seven and you're playing a good team. And I can't remember many other games where there was one in the Pittsburgh series.
You know, there were games where he was the difference. Not that he played well when the team played well. Where he was the difference. And last night was one of them, and I don't think that list is particularly long with him.
No, it's short. Again, I remember one in Pittsburgh in that series in 2013. There was one game at Pittsburgh, I think, where he was really good and basically stole the game. But other than that, I don't remember many.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts on the Bruins. We also hit on that Sharks Golden Knights thing, which was just insane. You want to look ahead to the Blue Jackets? You can. Game one is tomorrow night. We had some Red Sox and draft stuff as well, so it's your calls on everything. We'll lead off with Chris and Everett on the Bees. Go ahead, Chris.
Maz, your opening take that the Maple Leafs kind of outplayed the Bruins must be the most understated statement ever. It's like saying the Red Sox start is mediocre. I mean, it was like a 22-minute power play, and we were lucky to get out of there. And if it wasn't for Andersen, Tuukka all over himself, it would have been a different night. So we were lucky to get out of there. That team had a lot of speed. They're a lot better than we gave them credit for. And I think that's going to be a rivalry for the next couple of years.
Okay, I agree with most of that. I think Toronto's good. And that's the good news, is that you beat a really good team. You beat a really good team, and you had to dig deep for it. And you won with, you know, sort of goaltending and I think the veteran thing helped you out, you know?
Some balls.
I mean, you know, I think
some mental toughness.
Toronto doesn't know how to win yet. They don't know how to close. You do, probably. And I think all that stuff came through. So Toronto made you look bad for a lot of this series. That's the bad news. The good news is Toronto's legit. and you just beat a good team. And if you can beat Toronto, you can beat anyone left in the field. That's how I look at that.
I mean, look at the guys that scored the goals for you last night. Nordstrom, Corrali, Johansson, Coyle.
Huge factor.
I think. I know Bergeron got the one at the end, but to, you know, I almost don't even count that one, for crying out loud. It was, those are all, like, you know, those are all sort of third and fourth line guys.
Which I think is a huge factor. I to me, I never liked the analysis that you're just going to live and die with your first line or your top three. I like to think that you got to get, you know, if you get contributions from up and down the lineup, it's not all on those three. And then when those three get shut down, which invariably is going to happen, then what are you left with? You gotta have balance throughout your lineup. And I think the Bruins have a chance to get it. Corrali being back is huge, huge. I like Coyle's game. If Johansson's going to start to find the net now and then, I mean, then you're talking. Then you're on to something. But make no mistake, Toronto did outplay you for a lot of that series. Mike in the truck on the Bees. Go ahead, Mike.
Leaves turn into compost, Mike. Compost.
There you go. That's better.
It's a couple things real quick. I called the other day on Charlie Coyle. I think you saw a little more what I was saying about him last night. I think he's going to be an important player going forward. We were wondering what we were going to get for production after the first line. I think that's kind of flipped right now. We need more production out of the first and second lines. And finally, on Tuca, it's fine to criticize someone when they're not playing well. It's also okay to give them their due when they are playing well. So there you go.
Oh, no, he deserves a due. First star. Won in the game last night. No question about it.
See, I'll tell you what, I give Cassidy a little credit for that, too, because he's been all too willing to take a jab at Rask.
Tough on him. That's my point. That's the story. Don't ask about how do you feel about it. You answered your fans. Did you answer your coach? Did you show your coach something?
Yeah, look, I mean, and when the coach comes out and says he was the best player on the ice, like, this is, you know, I don't know if Cassidy's, if this is all designed to, if this is all about pushing buttons and getting Rask focused and challenging him and getting him mad, whatever works, man. Whatever works.
I still think Cassidy's doing it a little bit. When you listen to those answers we played, you know, he mentions, well, the rest we gave him during the regular season.
Yeah.
Is that coming back? And that's sort of giving themselves credit for getting Halak in there and getting Halak games, and our approach helped you out because you need a rest. He also says, you know,
we got him a couple of goals.
We got him a couple of goals. You know, we got him a couple of goals in the first that probably put him at ease and allowed him to carry us in the second period. I think Rask in the first 10 minutes, I think that was the most important stretch of the game. That save on Austin Matthews from the slot 3 minutes in was, I think, in large respects, the key to the game, the biggest stop in the whole game.
I mean, and I think he said after the game he never saw it.
But he was in position and
correct.
He was down and ready to go. That was a bang bang play.
It was a great stop. It was a great stop. And the two on Marner, you know, again, he made good stop there, and the puck almost squirted through, but he kept it between his pads. And then the one later on Hyman, like, initially when I saw the replay, I thought, oh, he just whiffed on it.
He got a piece.
No, he did. He got a piece of it. He did get a piece of it.
As I mentioned, with some other topics on the board, including the Red Sox, Dante and Linfield. Who do you blame for the slow start?
Well, I agree with you, Naz. Sale is not above accountability. This is 100% on Cora. His stubbornness and his inability to change is so contrarian to the way the game is played and the very nature of the game. For example, like going forward, Chavis should be the starting second baseman for every single game for the rest of the year. But you know, when Nunez comes back, it's going to be Nunez, and he's going to give you the defense crap. The same guy.
Okay. Hey, Dante, your phone sucks. Let's not get someone in trouble for something they haven't done yet. Right? When he starts playing Nunez over Chavez, then you can say it.
But I'm not convinced they're going to do that.
Me neither.
I mean, Nunez sucks at second base, for one. And the other thing is, you know, if...
Or Chavez. Well, who did I say? Chavez?
Yeah. But if the kid can play a functional second base and, you know, hit one out every now and then...
That was a bomb last night.
He crushes it. Of course, he swings from his ass on every pitch. Watch him. Seriously. I mean, it's like watching a softball player, and that drives me bananas, but that's the modern game. Okay, so I get it. Watch him, though. He misses some pitches by a foot. I mean, he swings from his ass. It's like John Daly up there, for crying out loud.
Is Cora too stubborn?
I think you've seen a little bit of stubbornness with Cora here in the early part of the year, and I think some of it is understandable. I also think that the more they started spinning their wheels, that he started acknowledging that there was a problem. And so he didn't dig in as hard as I've seen other managers dig in, which is good, but this team was not ready to start the year.
John and Marlborough, give me a Patriots take.
So I just want to know what you guys would give up for Nelson Agholor, and I think that you can keep the pressure on Tuca, because it's only the first series, and you guys did this last year with Price, and you wound up pulling it out, so I'd say keep it on.
Keep the pressure on, no question about it. That's up to Cassidy. Keep the pressure on. What was the first thing that he said?
Nelson
Agholor. What would you give up?
One of those compensatory picks?
A third, no more than a third.
Like, right, so I said.
What's his contract status?
The comp picks are at the end of the third, those late thirds. Because, again, I mean, he might be more talented than that. It's just once you're on the trade block, you're probably going to get released. So there's really no need to overpay for someone on the trade block. Generally speaking, I don't know what his contract is.
No, so, I mean, instinctively, I'd say even less than that.
Oh, yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent in 2020, so he's under contract for $9 million and change.
Fourth.
That's all. They're not going to trade for a guy making $9 million a year.
No, I mean, unless you restructure or something.
Unless you rip it up and start over.
Correct. No, and seeing what that number is, and for 1 year, fourth.
We've got Derek and Peabody on the Bruins last night. Hi, Derek.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Derek. What do you got?
I'm telling you, you're a moron. You're just crapping on Tuukka Rask. Like, he saved the season for the Bruins.
He did?
He did, yeah. I think so. If the Boston Bruins don't get power plays, they don't win.
Well, they didn't get him last night, and they won. But you're right for the series. I think the reason they were in the series to begin with is their power plays in games 4 and 6. And without that, they may have lost the thing. It may not have even gotten to a game 7.
What a switch. Like, the Bruins now need the power play, right? The Bruins. you couldn't find five guys on the Bruins 5 years ago who could pass and shoot. You couldn't find it. Now, all of a sudden, they have, like, one of the best power plays in the league.
Special teams, huge factor in the series. You're 7 for 16 on the power play. 7 for 16.
And they were 3 for 16.
46% or something. They were 3 for 16. I think they were 1 for their last 9. In the crucial game 7, they get 2 power plays. You get none. You kill them both. Huge factor in the series.
And one of them after a too many men on the ice penalty. Ugh.
We continue with your thoughts right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Once they get on the ice, I believe the leadership group will have our guys in a good place.
I think obviously it's a battle of will out there, especially more so in Game 7. You know, it's whatever it takes.
It's exciting. Game 7, you know. So what do you play for, you know, everything online.
Right of the net, Nordstrom shoots. He scores!
I was just trying to get a rebound. I know Sean was net front there crashing the net, so but it ended up going in, so we'll take it.
Right circle, Johansson fires. He scores!
It was good to see that one go in tonight and kind of feel good about that for a little bit.
Here's Tavares! Scores! Johnny Toronto! And the Maple Leafs are on the board!
Achari nudges it to Corrali. He'll carry it himself over the line, high slot to the far circle. Fires! He scores!
I just found myself in the slot all of a sudden and just put it on net, really, and they don't usually go in for me, but that was a good one and a big one, and I think you can see by the way I reacted how I felt about that goal.
Stolen, Krejci, far circle, centers, Coyle, shoots, he scores! The Bruins create the turnover. It's sent to Charlie Coyle with the empty yawning cage looking to right at him 30 feet away. He deposits an empty netter. Bruins 4, Maple Leafs 1.
My initial thought is they beat a really good team because I thought Tampa was lights out. We saw them firsthand late in the year. So clearly we got our hands full. We're going to enjoy this one tonight, but tomorrow we'll be back in trying to break them down.
Cassidy on the Blue Jackets. It'll be a different series. They're fast, but they're not as fast as Toronto, but they're big. They're big, and that's a better matchup for some of your defensemen, like Chara, for sure, and Carlo, for that matter. They're also more prone to get nasty, and I think this is going to be more of a nastier sort of old-school kind of playoff rub, face wash, you know, scrum after freezing the puck kind of series.
Good.
Which is good. Which I think is to the, I think this is stylistically more what the Bruins are looking for. And stylistically, Toronto, again, gave them just fits. Columbus, really talented, but stylistically more to the Bruins' liking, I think. I think. We'll see how that plays out. You know, we've been talking goaltending. When Sergei Bobrovsky's on, there's no one better. Two-time Vezina winner. When he gets hot, he is hot as balls, man. And he was ridiculous against the Lightning.
I mean, I thought that that Tampa series, like, you, look, it was four games. They wiped him out. But it changed in the second period of game one. Tampa was up 3-0. And all of a sudden, and that game could have opened up to 5-6 goals. I mean, they were really pouring it on. And he, you know, he shut him down in that second period. And then all of a sudden, they came back and won the game.
But I've also seen Bobrovsky just lose it. Just lose it. Like when he was the goalie in Philly in 2013 and you swept him. Or is that 11?
11.
2011. So he was, you know, I've seen his ups and downs of his career. And he's on this late career sort of surge. But he's gone back and forth. So hopefully you get him on the fourth. and not what he did last week against Tampa. We continue with your thoughts. Jim in Albany on the hockey. Hi, Jim. Okay. His comment line is something about could Kadri get traded? Yeah, probably out of Toronto. Probably that's one of the changes they'll make. I mean, two straight years because he's such a jackass. He gets himself tossed from the first round series and it comes down to a play or a period and maybe he could have been the difference in both of them. Yeah, he's gone.
So I was reading some of the stuff up there this morning and apparently his contract is good. So, you know, that's always a saver for a guy if you get a good contract. But it's probably time that someone up there has a talk with him that the Bruins had with Marchand last offseason. I mean, Kadri's not licking people, but it's, you know, stop being a jackass. They could have used him.
Mike and Derry on the Patriots. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, how you doing, guys? I heard a possible rumor that if Arizona takes Kyler Murray at one, the Patriots could trade 32 to Arizona, where Rosen would go to the Giants, and we would acquire Evan Ingram. Do you think there's any truth that three teams could work out this deal?
Yeah, did we hear that before?
Yeah, this was the one from, what's his face on ESPN?
Gasper mentioned Evan Ingram too, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a three-way trade, and the Patriots would end up with Bill Barnwell of ESPN. This is who floated this out there. The Patriots would end up with the Giants tight end Ingram and Robert Kimdiche, the defensive end, with Arizona, who's been a disappointment since he got drafted.
Is Ingram worth a first-round pick?
I mean, big dude.
Where was he picked?
He was picked, I'm looking up right now.
I feel like
he was drafted in the first round in 2017, 23rd overall, 2 years ago. So
yes, considering, you know, where he was.
Yeah, but I'd say
at it for 32, you end up with two players. You need help in the defensive end. I mean,
and in 2 years,
I don't love it.
In 2 years, so these are combined numbers. He has 109 catches and 8 touchdowns. Okay, so averaging 50 catches, 5 touchdowns a year over the two.
No, it's not a first-round pick.
That's not a first-round pick?
No, but his first year, not to me, it isn't. But to his first year, he was pretty good and had promise, and he got hurt at the end of the year. And let's face it, Eli has sucked there too. So I don't know, maybe get him in this operation, you're onto something?
Okay.
Well, Ken DJ was a first-rounder too, so you're getting...
Isn't he the guy that jumped out his window?
That is him.
Seriously, I'm not joking. Right? That was some sort of synthetic weed thing. Yeah.
Well, no, they've experienced that down there. Kevin in North Smithfield. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, guys. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
I wonder, far from a perfect series, obviously, for Rask, but I wonder if the leash on him has shortened or lengthened. Because I do think Halak deserves an appearance in the playoffs.
No, he doesn't.
He had a better season than Rask, regular season.
No, but it's not about deserve. What do you mean he deserves?
This is the second time we've gotten a call like this. I love this argument.
Kevin, if Rask starts to suck and is hurting the team, then Halak should go in, but Halak doesn't, quote-unquote, deserve
anything.
Okay, maybe
deserve isn't the right way to put it.
Right.
But do you think the leash is shortened or lengthened after the first round?
Lengthened.
Thank you guys, that's all. Thanks.
Lengthened.
It just got longer,
Absolutely.
Yeah, it got longer. No question about it.
And I'm not sure how quick Cassidy's trigger finger was going to be. I assumed it would be kind of quick. quicker than Claude's anyway, because it's been quicker in the regular season, and Cassie's more prone to call out Rask and, you know, sort of tell it like it is with Rask than Julian was. So I figured it was quick, but I didn't feel Cassidy ever made a move down to – and again, there weren't many chances to do it. That Matthews goal in Game 4 in Toronto that went off the crest of the B was when I would have walked down to the end of the bench, but Cassidy never did. He never even glanced at him. So I don't even know if Cassidy was ever all that close.
I mean, it might all be as simple as he's just playing a mind game. And the whole thing about bringing Halak in, we wanted to rest Tuukka. Maybe it's also about, no, we wanted to show Tuukka we have another option now. This isn't about, you know, as much as it's about 45 games instead of 55, it's also about, no, we need a plan B, Tuukka, because we don't trust him.
Sorry to cut you off there, Miss.
No worries.
Randy in Norwood, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, Randy. Randy, you're on the air. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was doing something. Listen, I don't watch hockey quite the way I used to, but I was watching it last night, and I actually get frustrated sometimes the way they clear the ice the puck so much, and I know they do that to relieve the pressure. Then there's other times it's like they barely hit it off the board so lightly.
Randy, I can't really talk hockey with you if you don't really watch it. That's just sort of pointless.
There were a lot of icings early in that game last night.
So they're I don't know exactly how to phrase this. Their movement from their own zone into the offensive zone in Toronto all series sucked. And it wasn't so good last night. Couldn't complete passes. Had no momentum going through the Toronto had, I thought, great momentum through the neutral zone. You know, wave after wave, it felt like. And you couldn't get it out or had to ice it or couldn't complete. So, again, I think Toronto did that to you. I'm hoping Toronto did that to you, because if that's the way you're going to play the whole way through, you're not going to make it four rounds doing that.
I mean, a lot of it is Toronto's speed.
I think it is. I hope it is, because if that's really how the Bruins are going to play in these high-pressure playoff games, they're not going to make it. They got to get better with the puck.
And then the opposite was true. There were occasions you'd watch Toronto and they'd get it out effortlessly.
Exactly.
And you're like, holy crap. Like, how is this going the way it's going? So the series, I think, will be a little slower with Columbus. The problem is you're going to get your brains beat in the process.
Mike in Cranston, give me a Bruins thought.
Hey, guys. I think we should give the third and fourth line a lot of credit for last night. I know you guys think Rask was key, but I thought the third and fourth line, particularly in the fourth line, is excellent. Achari on that first goal, keeping the puck inside the blue line.
Yes, sir.
That was pretty awesome. I think you guys should give Achari a little love. He's a native Rhode Islander, PC guy.
Okay, I don't care where he's from. You call Pierre
him some local love.
Yeah, call Pierre McGuire on that, where he played his bantam hockey. I don't care. I don't care where he grew up. I don't care if he's from Mars or Timbuktu or Tanzania.
Little Atkinson is so smart out of Riverside, Connecticut, Boston College, Avon Old Farms, and Mid-Fairfield Blues before he got to the NHL.
Don't care.
And Coyle's Weymouth.
But the fourth line, to me, is huge, and I like the way Cassidy's sort of, I think he's got good instincts when to use them. The whole first goal started with an offensive zone faceoff where Cassidy threw out the Corrali-Achari line against the Matthews line. And he smelled it. He smelled something there that Matthews doesn't want to play in his own end. I can't remember who the D pairing was at the time. It might have been the Hainsey pair. I don't know. I can't remember. But he sniffed, even though that's your fourth line, that's your grind line, he smelled an opening there.
I'll tell you who the D pair was. Whoever Gardner's out. With. Yeah. Like, you don't even have to guess, for crying out loud. If he was on the ice, they scored. That's the way it's been in every game seven with that guy. It's uncanny.
Okay, very important day for the Felger Maz big board.
Huge day. Huge.
Patriots desperately need receiving options. They need to rebuild their entire receiving core. That means receivers and tight ends. We picked tight ends earlier. We got three tight ends, good ones, three good ones, legit ones on the board. I feel good about our chances there at the tight end position, which means we're not going to hit. But we got three legit tight ends on the board. When we come back, we'll pick out three receivers. And we have to do running backs just because it's a position and we want to make all the college and fantasy dorks happy.
Are we doing three at every position? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, basically. Why?
I think we should do four receivers and two backs.
I'm with Maz on this.
Four receivers and two backs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
I believe we should throw markers for need.
Does that rig the process in any way?
Who cares?
No.
I like the integrity of the big board.
Oh, fine. Then we'll stick with
three. No. I like stand ground, Maz. Four wide receivers, two backs. They don't really need backs.
No, all right, fine. We'll stick to it. 3-3. It's fine. I can see that look on your face. I know what that means.
No, I'm nothing if not honest.
Mr. Standards and Practices.
I am
over
standards
here.
And practices. I am. Yeah. I have integrity. That board has integrity. The reason it's so powerful is that it has integrity. We don't rig the results.
Okay, so fine. We're not rigging any results, except that when we do throw the receiver wins, tell me where Hunter Renfro wins.
Okay, we'll see where that is. That comes your way right after Murray's up.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're member FDIC.
B-O-B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oop. Got the one
right
on the bottom.
It's all right. You got one.
I got one.
Jake Biquette from Arkansas.
Okay.
If they pick a Z receiver, it's going to be Aaron Dobson out of Marshall.
With the 59th pick in the 2013 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Aaron Dobson, wide receiver, Marshall.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, wow!
What does that mean, Maz? Is that good or is that bad?
Oh, I heard rumors about him.
What kind of rumors?
That he was on their radar.
With the 67th pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, your New England and my New England Patriots select Jimmy Garoppolo.
Trey Flowers out of Arkansas.
Number 101 overall, the New England Patriots select Trey Flowers, defensive end from Arkansas.
God!
Cyrus Jones from Alabama.
Oh, Nick Saban connection.
He's projected as a fourth-round pick.
With the 60th selection, the New England Patriots select Cyrus Jones.
Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, God.
North Carolina State projects as a fourth-round pick.
If his name's Jacoby, he's soft.
That guy has no shot.
The New England Patriots here at number 91, Jacoby Brissett, a quarterback.
Isaiah Wynn from Georgia.
With the 23rd pick, the New England Patriots select Isaiah Wynn, tackle, Georgia.
It's uncanny, folks. Felger Mass Big Board. It's because it's a board with integrity. We don't rig it. But just let me ask the people again. We're going to throw six here. Do we go three running back and three receiver, or two running back and four receiver, which is kind of rigging it because we think they're going to draft receivers and not running backs?
3-3.
I want 4-2.
3-3. I don't want to corrupt the process.
You don't have integrity.
Who said I had integrity?
But the big board has integrity. So we're going to stick 3-3.
Fine.
Because then it means something. No shortcuts here on Felger and Mass. Murray? Okay, so we'll start with the running back. So we gave you three tight ends earlier, three good prospects. Caden Smith from Stanford, Dax Raymond from Utah State, and Zach Gentry from Michigan, 6'7 kid out of Michigan. So those are your three tight ends. Keep an eye on those names. Now let's do running backs. Not a position of need. I'm even going to open up to the first page because that's just how we do. We do what we do. And just give me three quick running backs, and then we'll move on to the receiver position. Go ahead, Murray. He's chucking is that your wrist rocket or what?
Whoa!
What the hell's that?
Yeah, went high. Hold on. Let me try again.
It's a good thing we had that tarp up behind you.
Yeah, otherwise there'd be big problems. That screen would be no more.
That was a wild pitch. Ooh, good one. Okay. There's a big orange dot right at the middle under the magazine.
Yeah, to the left.
Got it. Josh Jacobs, Alabama. God, we've picked so many Alabama players.
Well, that's smart. The
it's
big
ridiculous.
Knows.
Okay. Josh Jacobs, Alabama, projected to go in the second round. 5'9", 215. Strong physical after contact runner. Very good between the tackles.
Short yardage.
Okay.
I can always use that.
I don't know if they need a running back in the second round. I'd lose my mind if they turned around and drafted a running back in the second round.
They won't get him.
That would be ridiculous.
They could get a guy in the sixth, though.
I'm into it for spite.
Yes, out of spite would be the only reason, Murray. Okay, stand by. Hold on. I'm resetting the board. Okay, Maz. Hit a running back. Oh, so if you're listening on the radio, I'm holding up a big board with a draft magazine clip to it, and these guys are chucking markers at it. They're somewhere in a football, somewhere on a wrist rocket that Murray's smuggled in from New Hampshire. Go ahead, Maz.
Okay, I'm going with a red marker this time. Dead red.
Okay.
Ooh, nice shot, Maz. Ah. And you screwed up the whole setup,
too. Yeah. Oh, crap. What
you
did
know,
you do,
Dad's got to fix it.
So what'd you do? I threw a bullseye.
No, so it's a red one?
Yep. Yeah.
I don't see
just to the right of the fold at the top of the page.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I see it. Alexander Mattson, Boise State. Alexander Mattson, Boise State. Put him on the board. I'm not even going to read his bio. These are running backs.
How big is he?
They don't matter. Okay. Alexander Mattson out of Boise State is 5'10 and three quarters, 212.
Yeah, not bad.
So that's kind of tall for a running back. I don't know. I like my running backs short and squat, but either way.
You don't like any of them.
I don't like all. You're absolutely right, Murray. Stand by. Page three running backs. Sorry.
I'll throw with less velocity this time.
Okay, it's Murray with the wrist rocket.
Go ahead there, kid.
Big
that
splatter.
Hit that guy right in the face.
Oh, my God. That poor bastard. Bryce Love out of Stanford.
Oh.
Another Stanford guy.
5'9 and a quarter, 201 pounds, strong points, quick, fast, strong after contact, had an exceptional 2017 season. Weak points. Production really fell off in 2018 from over 2,000 yards rushing to 739. Sometimes they do this.
That's value.
Yes, value. So they drop off their senior year, but they're still good players. They just had a bad year for one reason or the other, and the Patriots pounce.
Wasn't Curtis Martin like that?
Keep an eye on Bryce Love out of Stanford at the running back position, and boy, we've made a holy mess here in this one.
Here we go. Wide receivers now.
Okay, these are big
this
ones.
These
are the money balls.
Okay, so there's five pages of wide receivers. So you tell me, should I start on page one, page two, page three, or page four?
I think page one. There's going to be guys that are going to be there.
There are a crap ton of wide receivers listed in this magazine. So I'm going to open up to the first two pages that has their top four prospects on the board. So you're going to be hitting a good player here.
Okay.
All right, Maz.
Is Hunter Renfrow on this page?
Nope.
Nope.
Go ahead, Anthony.
Like all right,
here you go. This marker is pink.
Okay.
Nice shot, Maz, and you keep wrecking
you're really
up.
The same spot. Yeah. The same spot. I hit that clip. It's just to the left of the clip.
Sure. Hakeel Harry?
Oh, N'Keal Harry.
N'Keal? N'Keal.
Yeah.
N'Keal in this case is spelled N-apostrophe K-E-A-L. N'Keal.
Who's he play for?
N'Keal Harry's from Arizona State, Maz.
Ooh.
He goes at 6'3 and 5'8.
Oh, they could use some size with the Lilliputians they have.
6'3 and 5'8, 216 pounds, strong points. Harry has great size with long arms.
Oh, great.
Well built and strong, explosive athlete with speed, quick feet, change of direction, flexibility, and body control.
Downside, can't catch the ball.
Weak points. He's fast, but not in the 4-3 range fast. I don't care about that.
I mean, neither.
If he isn't the primary, there are times Harry doesn't give maximum effort. Okay, well, welcome to the wide receiver position.
Typical receiver.
Yep. He did not play in Arizona State's bowl game because he sat out. Good for him.
Yeah, who wants to?
Makes him smart. Put him on the board. I think we have a chance there.
Or selfish.
N'Keal Harry out of Arizona State. Put him on the Felger and Maz big board.
N'Keal.
Okay, should I go to page two or three Murray?
Yeah, page two.
Okay.
Hunter Renfrow's on this page.
No, he's not. Hunter Renfrow.
He's going to be like a third round.
He's way down the board, Maz. But I'll open up to the page with Hunter Renfrow to give you a shot.
All right, good. I want a chance at Renfrow.
Page two, wide receiver prospect here.
All right.
Felger, Maz, big board, which is, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, it's brought to you by the Peterson School. Yeah. All right? The Peterson School, great trade school. The best in the trades are drafted, in fact, from the Peterson School. PetersonSchool.com. Murray, fire away. That slingshot makes a holy mess, doesn't it?
Murray's going to bring in nunchucks next year.
Yes, where was it? Tell me where it was.
Bottom left.
Bottom left down here?
More towards the fold.
No, just to the right of the fold.
It was yellow.
Okay.
If you see any yellow, it should be there.
Okay.
That guy you just pointed to, because his runs over to the next page anyway.
Hakeem Butler. Iowa State. Hakeem Butler. 6'5 and 5'8, another tall guy.
See, we're going for big receivers.
6'5 and 5'8, 220 pounds, strong points.
The board knows.
Size, length, catch radius. I like the catch radius.
Huge.
I do. Weak points. Not a burner and not real sudden. I don't care about that. I want quick versus sudden. I wish they would listen to their three cone time, which they don't do. Anyway, Hakeem Butler is an impressive young man who has overcome a lot at a young age. Butler lost his mom to cancer at age 12. Then he had to move to another city to live with relatives. He was only a two-star recruit coming out of high school, but made himself into a top NFL prospect. Hmm. That's a good story.
Yeah, it is a good story.
Yeah, they're into that.
I want them to pick this kid
now. Okay.
Where did he go to school again?
Hakeem Butler, Iowa State, put him on the board.
Iowa State.
Okay, now this, are we going to hold the school against him?
Has there ever been a good NFL player from Iowa State?
Okay, let's find Hunter Renfrow, man.
I doubt it.
Is not
that up.
Hunter Renfrow is like on the fourth, fifth page.
Well, that's going too far then.
Hold on. Stand by. Stand by. I want to get... okay, here he is. Yeah, it's on... He's listed as a 25th receiver prospect for the Quartz magazine.
This has integrity.
The board has integrity, Murray.
Get Hunter Renfrow.
Well, I've been talking about this kid for 3 years, Murray.
Go ahead.
He's sort of my Garoppolo, but at a wide receiver.
Do it.
Okay, you ready? I can't even see him on the board there, so here you go.
Oh. Jesus Christ.
It hit the guy's head.
Which one?
The guy where the...
Oh, right here. Yeah, that's pretty clear. Terry McLaurin. Not McLovin. Terry McLaurin from Ohio State. 6 feet, 205.
Ooh.
Projected to go in the fifth to sixth round. Strong points. Very durable.
Ooh, I like durable.
Well, when that's your first thing, he shows up. I mean, you want him to show up, but that's your first thing?
Availability is more important than ability.
Well, that's a fair point. Very durable, never missed a college game because of injury, good wide receiver size, quick release, and works through jam. Though he is not a top route runner, McLaurin gained separation coming out of cuts. Very strong special teams cover guy, effective blocker.
Oh, there you go!
As an Ohio State guy, he's got to be an Urban Meyer recruit, right? So maybe there's some special sauce there.
Oh, special teams!
Terry McLaurin, his weak points, lacks natural hands, too many catches within the confines of his body, lacks a large receiving radius, inconsistent route runner, third or fourth receiving option for Ohio State in 2018.
They get him in the fifth round?
Fifth to sixth round.
Yeah, Belichick will take him in the second.
Okay, so there you go. There's your three receivers. Put them on the board. Felger and Maz, big board. You know, you got to pay it respects. No hip problems today. I sort of like the guys.
No tight hips.
Remember the tight hips, the bad bends?
Well, we took skilled guys today.
So no hip issues here, which will be a subject, in fact, of the final word. Coming up next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody. Quick programming note, myself and Ty Anderson on the off-air show, Felger and Maz off-air show, Facebook Live and Twitch, coming up in 2 minutes. Off the top of the 6 o'clock hour, me and Ty Anderson, more Bruins and whatever you want, join us there. Go.
All right, we're going to relive something, one of the better things that's come from the Felger and Maz big board over the years.
Mm.
This high hip production put together by Hardy.
Here's Chris Jones, Mississippi State. Strengths. Agile lower body to sidestep blocks and operate in small spaces.
He's got good technique.
Weaknesses. High hips.
The high hips, always a problem. Good for childbearing, not so much for defensive tackle.
Draft talk is so dumb. It's not. This is why we do this, to show you how stupid it is to talk about the draft. His weaknesses is that his hips are high. High-hipped. High-hipped. dipped.
I had that problem as a kid.
His belt rides a little more. You can see his ass crack. High hipped.
He plays a little stiff.
Doesn't consistently bend at his knees. This is a stiff fella. High hipped. I've never heard that before.
I like him. Good value.
Mean high hips. High hipped. And doesn't consistently bend at the knees. Who is this? Herman Munster plays flat-footed, narrow-based, inconsistent pad level off the snap, rushing upright and struggling to get underneath blockers. Sounds like my grandfather. He plays flat-footed. Who is this? Flat-footed.
Check it and see.
Flat-footed. You folks have to listen to Jones and Keefe at night. They know, they've heard of this critter, and they know he's high-hipped, and they know what his three cone drill is and where he projects on the board. They know it. They will tell you. They will spend 10 minutes on it, where this guy is going to go in the second round, and how the high hips are going to factor in. High-hipped. So anyway, put it on the board.
What was the guy's name?
Chris Jones,
a couple years ago, right?
Did he get drafted?
I'm gonna wiki him right now. let's see if this guy turned into anything. What position was he?
Defensive lineman.
Chris Jones, defensive tackle, is an American football defensive end for the Kansas City Chiefs of the NFL.
Is that Chris Jones 95? That big guy in the middle?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. They should have taken him. He was awesome.
With his high hips and flat feet?
Yeah, he had 15 and a half sacks last year.
Oh, he's a monster. That guy's a monster.
So this shows you what this stupid draft, you know, all this pre-draft talk is so freaking dumb.
Our board is not stupid.
He did land on our board.
See, the board knows.
The board knows. I don't know. But I read the bio. It's like the guy can barely get out of bed in the morning.
I'm telling you, that thing's like a Ouija board. It's mysterious. It knows.
Quarterbacks tomorrow. Quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm psyched for that. How many are we throwing for those?
Three. Like everything else. First round of the NFL draft tomorrow night. Game one, Bruins Blue Jackets. Tomorrow night, we'll be at the Garden. Big day. Felger, Maz, big board throws for quarterbacks.
Should do four.
Wow. Big one tomorrow. Quickly, Maz, on the Baseball Reporters.
So we'll revisit that doubleheader loss yesterday, what it cost the Red Sox, and also take an opportunity here to take a big picture view of the team and ask what has been the biggest problem for the Red Sox in the early part of the year.
Okay, no commercials, and you get Maz. Just an update tomorrow at the Garden. It starts at 2. Maz, we'll see you then.
Bye.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.